and it would be easier to mount a small raid on one target.
Hence their direction.
Exactly. Strike at the heart of Atlantis.
While our other night crawlers wait for an attack that does not come. Sir, they must be...
I will decide what must be done, and I think it is time that something was done for the greater good of Atlantis. The time is near, and we cannot be led by such a fool as this Odyssey. When the travelers come, they don't want to see the bloated idiocy that he has become. They want to see a Vill waiting for redemption.
Led by you?
No, led by no one. The fat fool has no heir. We must start again. I don't want the task, but we must find someone who is equal to it. And it starts now. We shall let them have what they want. It will do them little good. Pull back your men. Let them attain the temple. Once they are inside, we have them, and Odyssey and their friends, at our mercy.
This is treason.
Perhaps, Antaeus, perhaps. But is that idiot satisfying his moronic interests with those two outlanders, at the expense of his real work, the vessel, any the less treasonous?
The Nightcrawler leader didn't answer.
And there are many who will feel the same. We act, as always, for the greater good. Now go.
He didn't look around. He knew that the crawler had already departed. With a self-satisfied nod, Xerxes returned to watching the combat through the telescope. They didn't understand how it had happened. They only knew that it had. Where they had one moment been fighting a battle they were slowly losing, now they were standing alone on the deserted street. The Nightcrawlers had vanished as mysteriously as they had arrived. Ryan looked around and took stock. It wasn't good. All the companions were left alive, but of the Memphis people, there were only Lemur, Cyan, and the youth Affinity.
Dark Knight, what was that about?
I don't know, but I don't like it. The bastards are playing games with us. Why have they left us alive when it would have been simple for them to keep fighting? They would have overwhelmed us in the end. And why us?
What do you mean?
It's obvious, Affinity. You, Lemur, and Cyan. The only ones left out of your people. Leader and wife, sure. I'm not sure about you.
But there's all of us. Like there was a reason to trim the fat, leave only those they wanted.
Fuck it. We'll be walking into a trap when we reach the temple. But we can't turn back. Shit. Hardly likely they'll let us.
Then let's go. Soon as spring trap, soon as sea hunter.
This is too bastard easy.
They entered the temple.
Don't knock it, Ryan. At least if we don't have to fight yet, we're saving it for when we do.
The Nightcrawlers had done their job well. On being withdrawn by their commander, Antaeus, a team had been dispatched to the temple to spring the locks on all the heavy stone doors that lay between the Memphis war party and Odyssey. The war party was to be the puppets who disposed of the Atlantean leader before being eradicated themselves by an avenging force. Trapped as they would be within the temple, this would be a simple task.
Shit, I hate places like this. Give me some kind of pest hole like the maze any day. At least you know where the hell you are or something like that.
There is some truth in what you say. Dangers are more real in a situation such as that.
Shut up! Danger real everywhere.
There was an overall mood of darkness that pervaded their party. They were clearly being used, directed for some purpose that they couldn't define. But there was little they could do but go with the current and hope that it would become clear as they proceeded farther into the temple.
The place is deserted. Are you sure that they wouldn't have evacuated, left it completely empty?
Odyssey rarely sets foot outside the temple. There is nowhere else that he would be, or where your friends would be held. Atlantis doesn't take prisoners. No, they are here, and so is he. But where are the guards?
Affinity's right. They should be here. It is their duty to protect him.
Stop. Someone in chamber.
Jack indicated the closed door, about 20 feet away to their left.
What the hell is that guy doing? Chanting?
More to the point, how come we can only hear one?
Where are Doc and Christie?
Only one way to find out.
Without pause, Ryan strode to the stone door and could see that the door was unlocked. So either Odyssey wanted them to enter, or someone else requested the pleasure. Either way, Ryan was in no mood to deny them. The entire war party carried their hand blasters, apart from JB, who, as ever, eschewed a smaller weapon in favor of the mini-Uzi, and Ryan indicated that they should be ready to use them. Mentally counting to three, he took the door and then stopped dead. He found it hard to believe what he could see in front of him. At his back, the others entering the room also found themselves stunned. They had been expecting Sekhmen, a firefight, the sound of one man to conceal others in wait. The trap that they thought had been laid for them.
What the fuck is going on?
Christy, in a white robe that was slashed open down to her waist, lay on a slab. Her face was impassive, her eyes blank, and she was silent. To one side, amid the hangings and decorations depicting ancient rituals, Doc was squatting, hunkered down. He was immobile and as silent as Christy. The pot-bellied figure of Odyssey stood over her. He was chanting a prayer to ancient gods as he purified an ornate curved knife in a flame on the altar. Clearly, Christy was about to be sacrificed.
You defiler!
Lemire shot past Ryan and stepped up to the slab, pushing the Atlantean leader away from Christy. Odyssey fell from the altar, crashing to the floor.
You poltroon! Is it not enough that you have perverted the ideals on which this city was built?
Lemire strode around the slab so that he was standing over the prone Atlantean leader, his blaster a few feet away from the terrified Odyssey's face.
To build a vessel with which we are reunited with those who have gone before us, that is a noble aim. Not to treat those who should be reunited as though they were nothing more than slaves.
It is for the greater good of the cause.
This sacrifice!
Lemire waved his blaster around the chamber before bringing it back to rest on Odyssey.
You are merely stating your own twisted beliefs. I should kill you now and end this.
Lemire dropped his blaster and pitched forward, landing on Odyssey as the Atlantean desperately struggled to escape the falling corpse.
Cyan?
Cyan stepped forward, turning so that she had the rest of the chamber covered.
Good. I thought you would never fire on that madman. And that will not be necessary.
Odyssey gestured to Cyan's blaster, and then swept a gaze around the room. Ryan realized what he was doing, a fraction of a second too late. He could see JB had the same idea, as he stopped with the mini-Uzi half off his shoulder, where he had slung it while trying to help Mildred lift the prone Christy from the slab. For his own part, Ryan had the Sig Sauer almost aimed, but couldn't move muscles immobilized by one hypnotic glance. It had to be some kind of muty inbred ability handed down genetically to the leaders. There was no other explanation. Not that this thought was of any comfort.
You realize that I could have been killed if you had delayed any longer? No matter, you did as you had to in the end.
Odyssey looked over the immobilized group.
Not many of you, although I feel you must have done tremendously well to get this far. I shall have to have words with Xerxes, as there should have been a better guard to stop you intruding on my ceremony. I must admit I'm a little surprised to see my little Cyan here.
He turned to the woman and touched her cheek. She kept her eyes and her blaster firmly on the group and away from Odyssey. He, on the other hand, now seemed to be back in control.
A little conceit of mine, to have the wife of the opposition leader as my chief spy in the camp. She was mine before she was his, of course. That was the reason for her searching him out. And after all, even though they all knew there were spies, who would suspect the faithful wife? The one who seemed to be so against my regime. Convenient. She could send back reports and do my work. Memphis has long been a thorn in my side, and in truth they are so inept that it would be easy to crush them if I could be bothered to devote the manpower to such a task. But that would take too much time, and my men were better employed working on the vessel. The time of alignment was too close, and I needed to keep them occupied with their own follies. But you had to come along and alter that. I curse you, even though you gave me the woman with powers that would help me in the ceremony. Because even with that, you had to interfere before I could conclude. But no matter. You cannot move. You shall watch me as I conclude the ceremony. It is unfortunate that one so beautiful must be sacrificed upon this altar, but the time is almost nigh, and the deed must be done.
Odyssey took the paralyzed Christy from the equally powerless grip of JB and Mildred, pulling her back onto the altar.
That should be me.
Odyssey turned to her, amusement on his face.
You? You would dare to tell me what I should do?
Yes! I was the one who loved you, who believed in you. You think that Xerxes does? You think there were no guards on your temple by accident? He has been waiting for a long time to depose you. Yet still he underestimates you. He knew of my status as a spy, but not that I loved you. I wanted to be the one who partook of the ritual with you, who sacrificed all for you, not this bitch from the outside world.
Xerxes is a fool, and he will pay. You will have your reward. But this woman has gifts that you cannot even imagine. She is special. You are just one of many.
Get away from her!
Cyan leveled her blaster at Odyssey. He grinned.
You think I am afraid of you? I know how you feel. You killed your husband for me. I have nothing to fear from you.
You're wrong. I killed him because he was about to kill you, yes. But not for the reason you may think. I killed him because you have betrayed me, and I wanted the pleasure of killing you myself!
You couldn't do that. I wouldn't let you.
He focused his gaze upon her. The muscles in Cyan's body tightened as the hypnotic glare hit her. But there was something, a willpower born of anger, a last rage of defiance. As the paralysis gripped her, the impulse to squeeze the trigger traveled down her arm, just that fraction of a second ahead of the hypnosis. Odyssey looked down in surprise, rather than pain and anger. There was a neat hole in the middle of his chest, with just a trickle of blood surrounding it. The once leader of Atlantis fell backward, off the stone altar, and onto the hard ground. He was beyond feeling any impact. His hypnotic grip on everybody in the room slowly began to lift. The door to the chamber shut, the lock smoothly falling into place, just a fraction too soon for Ryan to reach it, his limbs still like jelly as the hypnotic effect wore off.
God damn it.
Cyan was thrown backward, a neat hole punched between her eyes.
Affinity?
Bitch, I trusted you. We all did.
Ryan tried the door, not looking back until he had ascertained that it was locked. Everyone in the room was beginning to move now. Christy hugged the tunic to her body, awkward and unsure what to do, not knowing where to begin and putting together what had happened to her.
Affinity, what the fuck's going on here?
The young man tore his eyes away from his handiwork.
It's self-destruct. Odyssey had many triggers built into the temple. I worked on some of them myself. The doors are sealed for those who don't know the code. Then the foundations are undermined by a series of old explosives that were kept from Predark for just such purposes. We have about 10 minutes before the complete mechanism runs its course.
Fireblast. The bastard can't win now. Do you know the code?
No. Only Odyssey and Temple Sec know how the codes work.
I know. I worked it out. I can get us out.
Then why? No matter. Let's get the fuck out of here.
With shaking hands, Doc fumbled the stones until they were in position, and the lock sprang back.
Come on. JB, help Mildred with Christy. Jack, come ahead with Doc and me. Affinity, cover our asses.
Ryan moved out, pulling the stumbling Doc with him, Jack at their side. He had to hand it to the old man. He was shaken and had every right to be in a state of shock. Yet when it came to each lock, he was completely focused. And there was no opposition on the way out. Their only enemy seemed to be the building itself, which began to tremble as the old explosives went off with a muffled thud in the bowels of the temple. Stone moved against stone, and it seemed that the building was poised to tumble around their ears. They were moving downward as fast as was possible, but it remained to be seen whether that would be fast enough.
Hurry, Doc. I don't think we've got a lot of time left.
The entire structure began to move slowly, as though the balance of the entire edifice was shifting slightly. Dust and particles of stone, chipped by the coming together of the blocks, fell on them in a silent, dry rain. Doc ignored Ryan, his fingers feverishly twisting the colored stones to release the lock. The stones formed a pattern, and the lock released. Doc pushed at the door, and it opened. He went through, while Ryan hustled the remainder of the party through.
We might just do it, Doc. Affinity, how far down are we now?
Near the entrance. One door more before the exit. The corridors start to curve differently as you approach the exit passage.
Fire blast!
Ryan dodged a sharpened sliver of stone that sheared off a ceiling block. The floor was becoming uneven as stones were thrust upward. Doc was only a couple of paces behind Ryan as they hit the final sector before the exit. The old man looked up at the bowing ceiling, the stones grumbling and protesting under the pressure. He took a deep breath and started to work the lock, twisting the red, black, and white stones until they were in the right coded combination.